The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. This is our normally scheduled week in comics titled Bubble Wrap. Hey, you're going to have to wait and find out what that means. But hey, we started off this week talking state of comics and comic book stores, and John and I really get into it for quite a bit. A lot of detail, maybe more detail than we ever thought we would find out about, but it's what's going on right now. But then we get into some fun talk. We talk about HBO Max, we talk about CW, we talk Lord of the Rings, we talk MCU, DC movies, and we wrap it all up with some Star Wars, Clone Wars talk with Rebels, and a lot of good fun stuff. So let's head into the store and have some fun. Hey, John, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. You've been listening to the morning podcast?
Every day.
So, you know, I've been dying to get to this question. Let's get to it right away.
All right.
Is Footloose a musical?
No. I don't think it is.
I thought I'd surprise you with that little inside joke.
Yeah.
So you don't
did surprise me.
What's that?
You did surprise me.
I know I did. I thought of that one yesterday when I was listening. Yeah. You heard that, right?
I did.
You heard that whole conversation?
Yeah.
I thought he was ridiculous. It's not a
Ralph or Eddie.
Huh?
Which one, Ralph or Eddie?
Ralph, for saying it's musical. It's
not. Well, I didn't know what side you came down on, so.
Right. No, I think Eddie's 100% right.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a musical.
Think of all the movies that have great music and it doesn't make them a musical.
Exactly.
So. But, all right.
Yeah, I can usually go with his logic, but I couldn't follow him on that one.
No, and I was trying to think of other movies that had great music in it, and
Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Is Dirty Dancing a musical? I don't think so.
Right. No. I mean, you could turn it into one by putting it on Broadway or something, and it's like Dirty Dancing, and then they call it the musical. But
right.
If they did that, I don't know. But yeah, I just thought that was a riot. And I thought I'd hit you with that one. Get things going.
Get my juices flowing.
Yeah, so I got butterflies going. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what's going on? What's going on with comic book stores? Let's get right to it.
Well, what question do you want to
ask? So I know I got your email over the weekend saying that you're going to be available, Friday for curbside pickup? Is that correct?
Yes, we get to open for curbside service. All retail gets to open for curbside service in Texas on Friday.
Okay.
So that was mandated, you know, by the governor last week. So that's good news, but it also comes with a hint of bad news because our May 1st opening date, which we were originally given, doesn't look like that's going to hold up. So we're able to get in and start doing curbside a week ahead of that date, but it doesn't look like we're going to have a full opening until after that date.
So, right, because isn't it you have to do that for like 2 weeks or something?
Well, he didn't say specifically, I don't think, but there was a date of, I think, the 28th where they were going to give additional plans on, you know, when they were going to be able to reopen. And given that date, I don't think 2 days later we're going to be able to be open.
Right.
So,
did you see the news that came like the couple days before that the outline that the federal government is outlining on like how you can reopen slowly? And like you guys are obviously in step one.
Yeah. Well, and then there's some, are you talking about how like we're going to have thermometers on hand to take our employees' temperatures?
Oh, really? I didn't see that part. No.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Supposedly we're going to have like contactless thermometers, which are ridiculously expensive, by the way, on hand, and have to take our employees' temperatures when they come into work, which doesn't really work for me because I don't ever cross paths with my employees. Like, we don't – we work on different days.
Right.
It's not
that's
like
the
we
point
really...
of having them.
Right.
So you're not there.
But it's not like – I'm a small enough operation that I don't have two of us there at the same time ever.
Right.
You know, it's just like, they work on my days off, so they're going to have to take their own temperatures, and I guess I'm going to have to be on the honor system. I don't know. But yeah, there was a whole thing of guidelines that they put out.
I didn't hear that one.
None of it's been, like, officially announced or mandated yet, I don't think, but getting a thermometer now might be the trick, because when they do say you need it, it's going to be like toilet paper. You're not going to be able to get them.
Right.
So
that's,
but yeah,
I haven't heard that. That's crazy. You got to take everybody's
temperature. Well, and same thing, mandatory gloves and masks and cleaning products and all that stuff, which is great to say all that stuff is mandatory, but they don't tell you how you're supposed to go about getting a hold of any of it.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, you could have gloves on hand. Try to go buy them.
Right.
You can't, unless you want to pay $1 million on Amazon for, 100 gloves is, $30 on Amazon. That's prohibitive.
Right.
It should be, $4, and can't afford to buy a couple of boxes, and then be changing them after every single thing you do all day long. You can go through 100 gloves in 2 days,
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's great to say all that stuff, but unless they're going to tell you how to get it.
Let me ask this. How do they police it?
Well, I don't know. Even with that, they'd have to literally be doing inspections, fire marshals come in and do inspections and the food people come in. So they'll have to come in and do inspections, I guess, to police it. So who knows? I don't know how they're going to do any of that, but at this point, like I said, with curbside, it's a bit easier because nobody's coming in your building. I have to do, I'm going to set myself up basically the same way Best Buy does.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk out to your car and you can either pop your trunk or lower your back window and, it'll be pretty much contactless. So that's easy. It's actually the steps for opening back up. Because again, they're talking about mandatory, plexiglass dividers, all this stuff you're seeing in the grocery stores.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses aren't set up to be able to have the cost to do this stuff,
Right.
I don't know. But like we said many times on our shows, it's going to be a different world when we're able to do this. Because you want people to feel safe coming into your building.
Right.
And that's the thing, is you want people to feel like you're taking precautions and taking their safety seriously. So, you have to do some amount of it. And, I always run a pretty clean business anyways. But, I'm not sanitizing every inch of my store 10 times a day.
Every comic book that's in every sleeve.
We dust and vacuum and wipe the counters down and clean the bathrooms, on a daily basis pretty much. But, I'm not with a toothbrush spit-shining my door handles and, so.
I think spit-shining would be bad.
true.
I had an incident, and this is at the beginning of all this, and people started wearing masks, and I went to a local donut chain store up here, and the girl behind the I get a dozen donuts, and the girl behind the counter had the mask on, and this has been policy from the beginning. They put a glove on to get your donuts, then they throw
they always do that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the problem was is she put the mask on, but it wasn't on correctly or barely, and she kept adjusting the thing and putting her finger down inside to pull it up, by her nose, and then was reaching for my donuts. And I'm like, it's like some of this stuff is so it's actually counterproductive.
Right.
I
was at Walmart today, and I was walking out, and I saw a guy walking in, and he had his mask down around his neck, and, then he was going to pull it up and do whatever, but, obviously he's wearing that thing and touching it up and down all day long, so it's like, what are you accomplishing when you're doing that? Nothing. So.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And it's, I get the idea, but it's, I feel like a, and this is, obviously this is, don't come here for advice or, you know, real news or anything. This is how I feel, and I could be completely wrong, but I think of a lot of this is just to, I don't know, make you feel better, but I don't think it is actually going to work. Yeah. Like, like actually protect you. It's like, I mean, I don't know. This.
I mean, again, wash your hands.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. You know, try not to go out and touch a bunch of stuff and then rub your hands all over your face. That's a no-brainer. Like, I don't know how much the masks are really helping anything because people don't use them.
Oh, if you go on Twitter, they give you the actual statistics.
Yeah, which are not good.
It doesn't even make sense.
It's almost like you're better off not wearing them.
Right. No. I've seen people with the memes and they give you the percentages if you have one and you don't have one. And I was like, I see these things and I'm like, obviously none of them are based in anything because.
Right. It's not scientific fact.
But how is that based? What? I mean, even just stop for 2 seconds and go, how did they come up with those numbers? Like, if you were legitimately going to do that, be like, okay, so you were just diagnosed positive. Were you wearing a mask? Were you not wearing a mask when you contracted it? Who were you next to when you contracted it? Do you know? No, you don't know. So how the heck could you get those numbers?
Well, that's the whole thing, because even if you we spend a lot of time talking about this on our comic podcast, but
I know.
Even if you do get tested, even if you do test positive for the virus, I mean, unless you know the exact instant where and when you contracted it, you don't know if you had protected yourself or not.
Right.
You know, was it the minute you were wearing the mask or was it the minute you weren't? Had you just washed your hands or had you not? Like,
right.
Nobody can tell you exactly when you got it.
Exactly. You know,
and how you contracted it. So, I don't know. Like you said, I don't know how they're providing this data.
I know. Because, exactly. You know, well, it's all just.
It's not like as soon as you get it, like a light starts flashing over your head, you know, it turns red and you know, okay, this is what I was doing when I got it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, so, with all of this, how does this make you, how does DC and what they're doing, they seem to be the leader in revamping, or the biggest name in revamping the distribution of comics. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't like it.
You don't?
No. I don't like what they're doing specifically and how they went about doing it.
Okay, can I ask you something quick, though? But,
well, I might be answering it already, but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because I'm like really confused, because I understand what you're saying. I've read some stuff, but I also remember people talking about how much they hated Diamond.
Well, that's what I was that's exactly what I was just going to say.
Okay.
But it's just, that's what it's I was surprising saying. I think I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
I am all for alternate methods of distribution if it's done through a legit distributor. You know, the problem is these plans seems like they were very hastily thought out and put together. The companies that they're using to distribute are not book distributing companies. They're online retail competitors to comic book stores. So, you know, one of the companies, they're basically using two companies that are split. Depending on what region you live in, you use one or the other. So we get this email and a Facebook post from DC saying that, you know, this is what they're doing. And there's the two company names, and I don't remember what they are. But, you know, when you start doing digging, there are subsidiary companies that were set up basically right before the announcement. And they're owned by Midtown Comics and DCBS, which are like the two major online retailers. So, like, that just sets up a whole chain of problems that, you know, the small comic book stores are going to have to deal with. And and it's a giant conflict of interest. So if they would have said, hey, we're going to use Penguin Random House or Ingram Books or somebody that, like, is already out there distributing books to people, and they're a legit operation that are going to also be distributing comic books for you, then the biggest complaint I have with this whole thing goes away, because that's my major beef. The other part of it is just the timing that came into it. You know, we get this announcement. We basically had like 3 days to get an account set up with these new distributors, credit checks, giving all this information, again, to our online competitors, you know.
Right.
And then lastly, the product offering is just crap. I mean, it's basically the books that nobody sells any copies of anyways. Like,
yes,
I don't sell any copies of Batman Giant or like the third printing of Batman 91 or whatever it is. So the hassle that you had to go through to get all this set up for me to order basically, let's say like a dozen comics, it's just not worth it by the time you put the shipping into it and, you know, all this other stuff that goes into it. There's no profit margin there. It just doesn't seem like it was a very good plan that was put in place. And then it just seems unfair, right, to the small stores that can't be open to do any business at all. And yet Midtown now has access to all these books that they can, that, you know, and they're going to mail them to their million customers all across the country. And what advantage it gives those big companies over all these small stores that really can't participate in the books at all.
Right.
So I just think there's a lot of problems with this. Again, going back to the top, I am all for, like, I don't hate Diamond. I have issues with Diamond occasionally.
Yes.
But they have, for the most part, made everything right every time. Like, I don't have any outstanding gripes with Diamond that didn't get resolved over time. Yes, it's frustrating when your books don't show up 1 week on time or a bunch of stuff gets damaged, you know, or packing. There's a million things that people complain about with Diamond. But overall, if you think about the scope of their operation, they do a pretty good job week in and week out. But all that being said, I am all for free market. And I have no problem with alternate distribution methods being explored or set up to give us options to order.
Right.
Because it just increases your level of service. You know, if Diamond now has competition, well, they have to be a little bit more careful with how they pack their stuff. Like, it just forces them to be a little bit higher, bring their game to a higher level. And
yep.
I am all for that. I just don't like the way any of this was set up. And, you know, if you've read, again, most of the articles that are out there aren't from the inside necessarily. So, like, I don't know if you, what you're reading is giving you, like, what the retailer's response is to this.
Well, it's conflicting. But it's like from the stuff I've been reading, it's like I'm trying not to just read, like, inflammatory stuff. I'm trying to read, like, a back and forth. And they're, like, Newsarama has done some stuff. CBR has done some. It's like they're trying to give both sides, and they get. I don't know who these retailers are that are on either side of it, but I've seen basically seen both sides of it, and I understand it. I understand your point. Is it possible? And I'm not disagreeing with it, but is it possible that? Well, yeah, it's a first draft. Maybe it's not the best way to do it, but. You know, I don't know what else they can
do. But the thing
everybody's
is,
everybody's trying to make money, DC included.
Right. Again, and we talked about that a few weeks ago, where, you know, there is going to come a point where companies are going to have to start trying to make money. I understand that. But the problem is, like you said, they threw together this first draft, and maybe it's not good, but the problem is they locked us into it. So, you know what I'm saying? It's not like they put this out there and said, hey, this is what... There was no feedback, I guess, is my point. Like, there was no retailer interaction in this at all. Like, we constantly hear, especially from DC, who has traditionally, up until basically this COVID-19 situation came, has been the more friendly retailer when it comes to comic book stores. You know, they are much more willing to work with the stores than Marvel has ever been.
Yeah.
But they continue to call us their retail, you can't see my air quotes on the thing, but are their retail partners, but we don't feel like we're partners in any part of any of these processes. You know, right. There's no interaction, there's no solicitation. And again, DC's not going to call me and ask me anything because I'm a small store in Texas that's been open for a couple of years and, you know, is mid-tier at best when it comes to how much I spend on comics. But there's retailers out there that have been around a long time and are very knowledgeable and have big operations that they could call and consult with and say, hey, what do you think about this idea? What do you see the problems being? Or, you know, anything. But there was none of that. Because, again, there's been no concrete discussion on what our discount tier is going to be, on how we handle returns, on, like, there's so much stuff that wasn't even answered, but we had to either, you could bleep me out, but I mean, we had
language,
trick it off the pod. It's like we had to decide we're going to do this or not do it without having all the information handy, because all these things had to be ordered by like Monday when we found out about it on Thursday or Friday. So it just didn't seem, I don't know. For me and for the amount of books I was going to order, I didn't even consider. Like, it wasn't even a thought for me. Like, right. It's just not worth the hassle. Plus, all these books are going to be available with Diamond. Like, our orders that we've placed with Diamond still exist. So when we open back up and Diamond ships again, all those copies of Batman Giant or any of that stuff that has already been ordered is coming anyways through Diamond. So, you know, unless there's customers that just have to have Batman Giant now and they can't wait 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. You know, again, it's not like it was A-list titles that I feel like, oh man, if I don't get on this, I'm going to miss out. Because even with Midtown having access to all those comics, I'm not worried about them sniping the one copy of Batman Giant that I might have sold.
Right.
So, but I don't want to have like Batman 92, which would be a giant seller, and have not have access to it while Midtown did. Like, that seems counterproductive. So,
well, it seems like, now from my, you know, ignorant point of view, is it feels like DC's trying out this new distribution process with some inconsequential material. And then they said they're still going to use Diamond. Then when Diamond comes back on board, that's when the bigger books will be coming out. You know what I mean?
They can't use Midtown and DCBS. That's the problem. It's like even going forward, they have to have somebody else. You know, like, because no retailer is going to feel comfortable with like one of their major online competitors being their distributor. You know, it's like, okay, if Midtown's filling orders and they've pre-sold, I don't know, 10,000 copies of Batman 92 and they get shorted from the distributors, you know, the printer shorts them, are they going to short their orders or are they going to short a bunch of us retailers that are waiting for those books?
Right.
You know, they're going to fill their customers and then we're going to get these, you know, pick list errors and we're not going to get our books. And I just see stuff.
It's a conflict of interest.
Right. There's just so many problems with that, that if it had been any other two companies, I think we would have been so much more on board with that. And the fact that they didn't disclose that those were the companies in the initial email, like it took some other retailers doing some digging to find out, hey, who are these parent companies? Because nobody had ever heard of them. And then, you know, you get down to the nitty gritty and find out who it is. And it just felt very not above board, you know, and I think that's what most people's problem is. And again, I can only speak for myself. You know, I'm like you say, you're just giving your opinion. I'm just giving my opinion too. I can't tell you exactly how every other retailer feels, but I mean, I've read a lot of similar sentiments from the other retailers. So,
okay, all right. The other, sorry about that. The other thing that I was wondering if it's part of like the slow rollout and a test type of thing is very similar to the issue we had with digital and physical and digital coming out early or something like that. we're in a weird time that, yeah, you're starting to open up where you are. And I, like I said on, well, I don't know what day it was, but earlier this week, I'm excited for that. And I'm in a region that's probably not going to be opening up for a while. Right. So maybe by the who knows, maybe when Batman 92 comes out, that seems to be the big book of choice that everybody's talking about.
For now, from DC.
Right. What if Massachusetts isn't even open yet?
Right.
You know, so now you get into that part of what you start distribution, but it can only go to certain parts of the country. And that's where I thought Diamond was doing a great job at the very beginning of all this by shutting everybody down equally.
Right.
Because we're dealing with something timely here that people want, and there's spoilers involved. There's demand involved in this because there's a certain time period of demand for each of these books. And what if 92 comes out? I don't think it'll be bad, but what if it comes out and like half the country gets it and everybody goes, well, that sucked. Then the people that don't have it yet, they're going to, even if they haven't read it, they're going to be like, well, now am I in a big hurry? It can hurt the market.
It can hurt the market, but I mean, to quote Mr. Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. But I guess the thing is, like, if we're in a situation where, again, yes, in 2 days, I'm going to be able to start offering curbside service. And I would probably like to have new comic books coming in.
Right.
But 70% of the country, let's say, is still not able to do that.
Right.
Well, I'm the few, not the many.
Exactly.
But when it's flipped and say 70% or 75% of the country is open and then there's still the 25% that are not, like, we either wait until we're 100% open, which who knows how long that could be, or we have to find a cutoff point. You know, if 75, 80% of the stores are able to get the books, I think then they should start shipping.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're in the 20%, I feel bad for you because I would hate to be in the 20%.
Right.
But I understand that, you know, the 80% has to go on.
Right. And I agree with that. But I think that we're at a point, even into the middle of May, I would think we're still right around that 50-50 part.
Right. That's what I'm saying. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, if we get to the end of May and we've got most of the country open except for like New York City and LA or wherever the major hotspots are. Although again, those are major markets too, so
yeah.
You don't want those to be shut down. But you know, again, if we get to that 80, again, to me it has to be overwhelming majority. Like you have to be at like 80-85% open before it makes sense to start shipping.
That's how
I feel. Right.
Yeah.
Again, just my opinion. Also knowing that I'm probably going to be in that 85%. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But like I said, I wouldn't mind if new books started flowing in 2 weeks because, you know, once I have access to being able to give them out to my customers, I'd love to have them.
Right.
But
we also don't know, and now here's the part going back to the whole science of everything. Part of the process is like step one is open and still have like a reducing number of cases, right? If your numbers start to go back up.
Right. Well, you shut down again.
You shut back down all over again. So
we
really don't know where anybody is going to be. Because your numbers down where you are have never even approached what our numbers are up here.
Oh, no, they haven't.
You know what I mean? But you've already waned, you know. And I think a lot of that, in just having been in both places, you guys are so spread out down there.
Right.
It's a lot easier to contain up here.
It's easier to social distance, that's for sure. But the other thing is, like you said, if we start doing curbside or, you know, if we start – I'll start doing this delivery here on Friday, and then by the weekend or Monday, our numbers start to spike, we might be shut down again. You know, they might take it all away.
Right.
So, like, yeah, you never know. Just because you get an okay to do something doesn't mean it's good forever. you know? So, I mean, we still have to be smart about what we do and try to, you know, try to slow the spread of it. So, yeah. There's a lot to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, it's hard to stay bright on this stuff.
It is.
Because it's like you get some good news and it's like, it seems like progress. And I think it is progress. I still stand by that. It's like all of this is progress in the right direction.
Right.
But what's it going to be like on the other side? And, you know, obviously you're not the only one that feels the way you feel about DC. Is now my next question is Marvel being like really quiet about the all of, what's going on with them? Have you heard anything from them on, do they have any plans?
Nothing that they've announced to us. The last thing we saw from Marvel is they put up a like a poll question earlier this week, basically on what dates we think we might want books to start flowing again. No,
yesterday.
No, well, right, but there was no answer to like how they were going to actually accomplish it. They were just trying to feel out, I guess, what the majority of stores thought was going to be a good a date. The overwhelming majority was like the third Wednesday in May.
Okay.
You know, got like 70% of the, you know, of the votes. That also lines up with Diamond's target date
right.
for when they hope to be able to start shipping again. So if everything goes according to plan, it looks like mid to late May we could start seeing some new product coming in. Now, again, is it going to be their flagship books? I don't know. They may just start, you know, with some, I don't want to say weaker offerings, but, you know, just some test books, I guess, to see how things are going. Because, you know, they don't want to put their major releases out and have them tank because they released them too early, you know.
Right. So that's all we have on, and we know. Well,
but that's really all we've heard from Marvel. Other than that, they're basically not doing what DC is doing. Now, Marvel does still have an exclusive contract with Diamond, though, whereas DC does not.
What happened with DC? Didn't they have one?
I guess
one?
That, I thought they did too. And honestly, I thought it was exclusive from both of them. But I guess it's really just Marvel, and DC has always just gone along to get along because, you know, Marvel's the giant in the industry, right? And if they're shipping exclusively through Diamond, I guess they just went along. I don't know. At one point I thought they both had exclusive deals, but maybe DC's deal ran out. But they don't have exclusivity, so they are free to go and do whatever they want. Marvel can't. They still have to ship through Diamond. So that's why I don't think we're going to see any of these situations come up with Marvel. I think with them it's going to be more just the time frame or whether they decide to do digital first or, you know, there's still things Marvel could do to mess things up. But as of now, and that's, again, that's why I was saying earlier, that's the funny part of all of this is that Marvel's really been more the, you know, we're going to do what we want and you could take it or leave it. And DC has been much more friendly to the retailers. But in this case, Marvel has been much more willing to just sit back and see how it plays out and then not make the mistakes that...
Not the make other mistakes. Are, they haven't done anything. And if you don't do anything,
exactly.
you can't make a mistake.
Exactly. You know. So I think in this case, they've kind of done the right thing. So.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Any other points on that before we get to any other news, something more uplifting?
On that specifically, no, but I'm surprised you didn't bring up the Digital First initiative as well.
Oh, yeah,
I knew you were going to want to talk about
my
that
head's
too.
Spinning from all
yeah,
this,
I don't
to
like
be
that
honest
either.
With you.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that either. For different reasons. The main reason being is that I don't like anything digital that takes away from the budget of people to spend on paper comics. And that's what this is going to do. You know, weekly or daily new comics or whatever from DC, Digital First, like these books aren't free. You know, they expect people to pay for them.
Right.
And, you know, again, it just goes, always goes back to what is my discretionary budget on a weekly basis to spend on comic books. And if I have, you know, $50 a week that I can spend in a comic book store, but then decide to spend 20 of it digitally, the store loses. The store loses that $30. So I'm just not a fan of anything that takes away from, you know, people buying comics in the comic book store. I don't buy their argument that these comics will drive readership into the stores because it didn't work with Walmart. The whole idea of them putting those giants at Walmart was to drive customers into the comic book stores. I don't know of a single customer that I picked up ever because somebody bought one of those giants in Walmart. You know, again, all it did was send people in a frenzy spending, you know, 10, 12, 15 bucks on these comics in Walmart, and that's money they didn't have to spend in, you know, in the comic book store. So I don't think it worked with those Walmart books, so I don't think it'll work with the digital books either. I just don't see it driving anybody into the stores to pick anything up. So,
well, I can see what you're saying. I don't. We talked about the Walmart books way back when, but I think maybe you don't know, but it's a bigger picture type thing. You might never know that that's why you got a new customer, but maybe you did. I would
you're
say
right.
That. And maybe you didn't, but maybe the larger scale, like they would have numbers on that stuff. DC would be like, look, this is, we've been selling steady at this pace. We started doing the Walmart thing and look, we saw an uptick all over the place. I don't know. I'm just getting, you know what I mean?
Well, it's but like, I would argue just by the fact that those books fizzled out at Walmart and it seemed like
right.
They weren't really doing them much anymore would be an indicator that it wasn't super successful. And again, like you said,
well,
it's okay.
I didn't think it was a good right. Ad campaign. The only people that knew about it were people that were in comic book stores.
Right. Well, and again, like you said, let's try something. I get it.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. And so that's why I don't believe that it will work with the digital first either. I don't buy that as a reason. I understand they need to make money. Creators need to make money. I understand what they're doing. My opinion, again, is I'm just not a fan of it because I just think it stretches that budget to a point where it's going to take away from comic book stores if the content digitally is compelling enough. Now, again, I don't know everything they're putting out, but if it's stuff that people care about and really want to read, then it's going to take away from their budget to spend in my store. So, you know, if it's a bunch of Batman giants that nobody cares about, then
yeah,
you know, I'm not too concerned about it. But
see, before we got on, all of you know, my thinking a lot of this stuff was it looks like DC's just trying to throw anything out there because the fans are so hungry right now. They're putting out this, you know, this digital first thing. They're putting out, look, we're going to be distributing in a new way, in a new way. And as I said the other day, most people, and I've actually seen a couple articles that reference this as well. Most people have no idea about distribution or anything like that. Most fans,
right.
But we're all starting to learn about it now. And it's one of those things that's getting exposed, and hopefully in the long run, maybe there's some growing pains, but hopefully in the long run, everybody learns something from this. The digital part, you know, as you've said in the past, I mean, the one part that could be really negative on the digital aspect is what if regular readers are like, hey, this is actually a better way?
Well, that's
it
what I was going to say.
It could be detrimental in the wrong direction where Walmart couldn't do that. It's a physical copy.
Right.
And that was it. But if you start exposing the digital side to people that, which they've always been exposed to it, but if you start putting unique material there, and people are like, well, I kind of like this way anyways.
Right. That's what I was going to say is I understood your first point where you said, look, people are starving for content, so DC's looking for ways to get it out there. But you're also training habits.
Right.
Right. So you do something 3 times, it's a habit, right? So if I buy these digital books 3 weeks in a row, now all of a sudden I'm going to start saying, well, you know, I don't need a physical copy of, maybe I still want my Batman 92, but I'm okay with not having a physical copy of Young Justice this month. So I'll just grab it digitally. And, you know, I want that Justice League, but I'll read Wonder Woman digitally. And so if you start training that habit, you know, again, it just contributes to the decline of brick and mortar stores. And we don't need any help there. Like, no. We already have enough things that we're facing that we don't need, again, our big retail partners, quote unquote, to be helping to hasten our demise, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. That's why I want, like, and I mean, it doesn't seem like it's possible from all the negativity surrounding the idea, but why can't they just incorporate the two of them together? Like, you just buy a digit, you can get your digital copies through your store, and you pay for it through your store. And it's like,
That was thrown out as an idea. And I know you talked about that too. But you know, we skirted around it a few weeks ago, and then we never really brought it back up because it just kind of died on the vine. But, you know, Comic Hub had put that program out there where it was basically going to be that. You know, you buy digital first, then you get your physical copy later on when you can pick it up. But one of the biggest complaints about that, or the biggest potential issues with that, is like, what happens when the physical copies don't come and you're on the hook for them? You know, like, let's say I sell, you know, 30 copies of Batman 92 digitally, and then I owe physical copies to those customers at some point.
Yep.
I've already collected their money.
Yep.
So I owe them those books. But when my order comes in, Diamond shorts me my Batman 92s, and I don't get them. You know, how do I fulfill those customers? Have to refund those customers, I lose money. So.
Would you have to refund them, or would you be able to say, hey, they're coming next week, or in another shipment?
But you don't always get them. That's the problem.
But can I answer that, though? Very, very quickly. You're actually paying for a digital copy.
That's not how we were selling it, though.
No, but what I'm saying is that's the way the model would work, is you're paying for a digital copy, and the book is free. You have to swap the two. Otherwise, that way the customer has got, they have received their item. If you would like a physical copy, you can come and pick it up.
But then that makes the store irrelevant.
Well, not if you're, but see, no, now
you
got to
get back.
You want
to be selling the physical, you want to be doing it the other way around. Because if they can just cut you out,
You're absolutely right. But just like you opened your store and you introduced gaming, traditional comic book stores when we were kids, well, one, I didn't even have one, but they were just comic book stores. You guys have evolved to a point where you created like a gaming store, Arkham Comics and Games, right? And as we said the other day, your store is an atmosphere. People want to come in and they want to talk about comics. That's why you and I started doing this, right? So your store never becomes irrelevant to that customer base. The people that just want to sit at home and hide and read comics digitally, they already exist. They're not coming into your store. But one of the things, like, we've had this instance, you've had it down there, I've seen it up here, you show up on Wednesday morning and you find out that your books aren't there. But if it was, I already bought the book digitally, I got it at midnight on that night, I would have had all my books, and you'd be like, oh, well, I could still read it. I just want my digital collector's copy. Fine. I don't care if it's delayed. I just think it's a different way of thinking that's not hard to get around. And that allows the customer, the fan, that keeps all the talk going. That keeps everybody like, oh, look at what just happened in Batman 89. Did you see that? Or did you see what the newest character? Yeah, I saw it. My book hasn't come in, but I've seen it digitally. It keeps everything rolling, keeps the ball turning, right? If that was already in place right now, we wouldn't even be having a discussion. You could still be selling books right now from your living room. Then when everything was over, you just have this stack of books coming from Diamond and you'd be like, you'd be handing them out because they're free. They're already been paid for digitally. It's just a different way of thinking on both sides, customer and retailer. I don't know what, I mean, we've had the feedback on why it won't work. And like you said, it's Comixology or this Amazon's not going to allow something like that. I don't know, but they're throwing everything else against the wall right now. I don't see why you can't throw this one too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's a whole host of reasons why I don't think that will be good, but, I don't know. I think we should just move on.
Okay. Okay. No, that's, I mean, that's why I said, I'm like, I don't know why that runs into problems, but it just, I don't know.
Again, it just goes back to, like I said, people are still going to expect their physical copies. And if you're unable to fulfill them, then you're going to end up having the feel bads with a lot of customers.
But you have that now, right? Like if you can't fulfill it on Wednesday morning, people are
right,
upset.
Right, but they haven't paid for it already. They might still be upset, but I'm not issuing refunds either.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to because they bought the digital. Like, you can go on Comixology right now and buy a book digitally. You have it. You bought it. But now you're just adding in the free copy, the free physical copy, and you're turning that market in, you're revamping the market to support in a case like this. It's like a lot of things are going to get revamped. I'm talking like very simply outside comic book world, talking to my wife's a teacher, talking to other teachers. They're already talking about the idea of like, do you think we're ever going to have a snow day again up here? Because why would you have a snow day when you could just do learn from home?
Right.
And school systems, what if on day one, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, here you go. Day one of the school year, here's your snow day package. And you get a little laptop, you get this, or, you know, a little tablet and blah, blah, blah. Put this away. If we call for it, boom, done, said and done. These are things that schools can work into their budgets and stuff like that. It's like people are revamping the whole world to this digital world that, you know, why can't comics do the same thing? And it's, you go into the store and go, I'd like, you know, I want to get, I'm put Batman on my pull list. Okay.
I agree with what you're saying, but the atmosphere only takes you so far. Like, once you make the store irrelevant, the atmosphere, like, again, I think my customers like coming to my store.
Right.
But there's not a, but only a handful of them hang out and talk to me, you know,
right,
for any extended period of the time. The majority of them walk in, pay and walk out, you know, and we say hello, whatever, you know, we make a chit chat for 2 seconds while I'm ringing them up and they walk out. So they're not, the majority of the customers don't care about the atmosphere. The ones that do don't make up a large percentage of your overall business. So if the store becomes irrelevant, the people that do care about the atmosphere, they're just not enough to sustain you. They're not enough to keep you going. And I think that's where most of the stores have fears, is that, yes, there are those guys that come in and hang out for 2 hours and talk to you and all that and pick up their $30 worth of books and leave, but that's not enough to pay your rent, you know? I mean, most of the customers are, they don't really care about the atmosphere all that much, you know?
So let me ask you this then. Why are they coming in and not just what reading? Because you can just read them digitally now and not give anything to the store.
Because a lot of them still want their physical copies. They're collectors.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. That goes back to, what if you can't fulfill them to people that you've already taken their money? That's where you don't want to be in that problem. You just don't want to be facing that issue, you know? I know what you're saying. I'm selling the digital copy and the paper copy is irrelevant.
On its way.
But they might still want that. And if you can't give it to them, then they're going to be like,
why wouldn't you be able to give it to them, John? That's the part I don't get. Because
you don't understand how many books I'm not able to fulfill for people because they don't come, or Diamond runs out, or they're damaged. Like, it happens. It's a very real issue that if a book doesn't come because they shorted me all 30 copies of Batman 92, let's say, right, and I don't get them, well, it's already been pre-sold out at Diamond. So they don't have them laying around to ship them to me if I don't get them. And it happens weekly with books, not necessarily to that scale of all the Batmans, but I have stacks and stacks of books that come in damaged or this or that, and they don't get replaced for customers. And if I'm on the hook for those books because they've already paid for it, now I'm giving away all this money that I've probably already used to pay, you know, my rent or what have you. So I would rather not get the money at all than collect it and then have to give it back, you know.
And that's where I think that's that whole swapping that you're paying for the digital part. But let me ask you this. All those customers that you never took money from and you never gave a book to, right? Where do they go when they didn't get their book from you?
Well, they either don't get it or they have to go to eBay. I mean, they have to source it somewhere else.
Right.
You know.
So at least now, if you revamp the market and everybody buys digitally with the idea that they can get their copy, yeah, crap happens. Maybe your copy gets lost in the mail, whatever. It gets damaged, whatever. But the onus was, you know, you tried. And
I
now,
just don't think that model works. Customers are too demanding. Like, nobody's going to be happy with that. They're not going to be okay with it, you know? If you're selling a two-part product and you only fulfill one of it, they're not going to be okay with just saying, oh, well, I didn't get it, you know, and move on. It's just, customers don't work that way. I know what you're saying in theory, but customers don't behave that way. Like, if they're expecting their physical book, they want their physical book. And it doesn't matter what the wording of the sale says. You know, they want their product.
Right.
And the customer's
always right.
Customer's always right. You know, they even when they're not.
Right.
I just don't think it works. I just think it creates more problems than it solves. And, you know, again, this is just your opinion and my opinion. There's
right.
like much smarter people out there figuring out why this will either work or it won't. And if enough people decide it's going to work, then I have no choice but to go along with it.
Right.
This is just my thinking and my opinions of it. And I haven't lived it, so I can't. I might be 100% wrong. You know, I don't know.
I find more people agree with you, though.
It's just how
I'm the one in the wilderness here.
You know, I could be wrong. You know, maybe it's a great plan, and you know, maybe I just don't see it, but. I don't know. I just see, to me, I see more potential problems than I do solutions with it.
Well, you're the one that deals with the customer. I don't. I'm just throwing stuff out there as like,
right.
That answers my questions, right? I'm not a collector per se
I hear you. You just want to read it. Right.
Right. I just want to read. I'd like to buy. I prefer to read a physical copy over a digital copy, but if I need to, I'll read a digital copy. So obviously all of that idea all works perfectly for me.
Right.
And that, you know, that's why but you're the one that deals with the customers. You deal with more, obviously you deal with more types of customers too. And if you think that most people, it wouldn't work for them, especially my question is though, how many times do you not, I mean, it must be a lot of times you can't fulfill orders. For you to be that way, otherwise it would be a
small
percentage, right?
It's more than I would want it to be. Like, I don't know what the actual percentage is. Percentage-wise, it's probably, I would guess, if I averaged it out over a year, it's probably pretty low. But the amount of times where it's significant, you know, are there, and that's where I see the problems. Like, again, it might only happen one out of 100 times, but, you know, when you get shorted all your Batmans or something like that, then it's a problem, you know. Most weeks it's, you know, you order 30 copies and six of them are damaged, you know, and you're still able to fulfill most of it. But sometimes those six people, you know, if four of them were for customers and two of them were for the rack, well, you know, your rack copies you don't care about, but those other four customers still wanted their books. And, you know, if Diamond doesn't have them to fulfill, they just never come. And, you know, again, yeah, they don't get them. The problem is, you know, again, I don't even know if this goes back to the original issue, but the problem there becomes by the time they know they didn't get it, it's a lot of times it's too late for them to get it somewhere else.
Right.
Because when something comes in damaged, my standard response is that, well, I've placed the reorder and I should have it within 2 weeks. Well, now when it doesn't come, it's 2 to 3 weeks later. And now that book is hard to get, you know?
Right.
So that's also the issue. Like, if you're able to tell them the next day, hey, you know what? You ain't going to get it.
Right.
You know, go somewhere else. But a lot of times we don't know because we put the reorder in with Diamond and they'll say, okay, I've confirmed your reorder. But then a few weeks later we get, you know, on the top of our invoice, we get, oh, back order canceled or what have you.
Right.
So we think that we're fulfilling it and then we find out we're not. And, you know, again, that's, it becomes a smaller percentage over time, but it's not nothing, you know.
No.
I mean, it is a percentage, you know. So,
well,
and,
yeah.
You know, and again, with the bigger operations, you know, again, for me, if I can't service 2% of my customers on a week, you know, it sucks, but 2% might only be two people. But, like,
right.
If I'm a giant store and I can't service 2% of my customers, well, that might be 1,000 people still. You know, like,
right.
If I'm Midtown, you know, 2% of their business could be 1,000 customers that don't get their books. So.
Right.
You know.
Well, yeah, but like you said, though, it's like a lot of those issues are under the existing business practices.
Right.
If we redid stuff, maybe there would be a world where there were, oh, I need more books. Okay, here's more books. I don't know. It's like, I know they stopped printing. It's harder to do, but it's, yeah. I think a lot of things have to change. I just keep thinking of the idea that imagine if we had done this before and you were still selling digitally and people could just, we'd all still be reading. And again, I understand that answers my questions. It answers my issues where I want more content. I want to keep the content flowing.
Well, and then in this specific 4 week scenario that we're living in, yes, I would have loved to have had weekly books still being sold, you know, but
right.
I think, but this is not a, like, I don't know when the next pandemic is going to be. So like, I don't know if I want the model to be this all the time. Yes, I would have loved to have been selling books for the last 4 weeks, but I think overall, I don't think it's a good system. If it worked for me for a month, I would have loved it. But
right.
But yeah, I just don't think we can plan on this happening again. You know, hopefully in our lifetimes, we don't see another situation like this. So
yeah, maybe 100 years. That'd be nice.
Yeah. So
and I'll probably just miss that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And by then, you know, I'll be retired, so I won't have to worry about it.
Yeah. So retiring on your riches.
Oh, yeah. All my digital book money.
I didn't want to say it. I was gonna say it.
Yeah, my digital book empire.
Oh, all right, let's get to some news. Let's get to some other stuff.
Do we have anything else? This is the
know.
Show, I think.
I know. Well, there is some stuff in the news going on.
Couple things.
Yeah, what do you have so far?
I just have a few things because, you know, true to form, you took a couple of my stories.
But yeah, but we could still talk about them, John.
There's
Let's
no
create
to.
That comic book store atmosphere. Hit me.
There's no reason to. They don't deserve it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, again, like, all right, HBO Max, May 27th. Like, there's no, we don't need any more discussion with that.
Yeah, so. I wish that was earlier.
I wish it was sooner because, like we said earlier, it's like you can't push it too much further into the end of May and still call it May. So
yeah,
I would have really liked to have seen that a few weeks earlier. But yeah, obviously that was news yesterday. I think that dropped with their release date.
How about staying on HBO Max? Did you get the Justice League Dark? That's pretty cool.
That was the very first thing I was going to talk about. So once again, you're stealing my news.
We're still together. It's our show. I can't steal it from our show.
Yeah. Obviously, it looks like the on again, off again Justice League Dark movie has turned into a series from J.J. Abrams on HBO Max. So I'm really excited for that.
And that's what we prefer.
Yeah, that's just, I would much prefer a series. Now, I don't know, like, if you give me a choice between a J.J. Abrams series and, like, a Guillermo del Toro movie, like, I'm not sure which one I choose, necessarily, but given that this is what we're getting now, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I think J.J.'s, you know, a pretty good storyteller. He tends to start stronger than he finishes, though. That's, like, always been the criticism with him. So we'll see. Like, we might get a good first season of Justice League Dark, and then we get a lost situation after that. But but yeah, and we don't know the lineup yet, but the traditional characters would be Zatanna, Deadman, Constantine, maybe Swamp Thing. Given that we've had the Swamp Thing show, like, the model and the makeup, like, all that stuff is in place. Like, I don't know why they couldn't just maybe resurrect that version of Swamp Thing.
And maybe they will.
That's what I'm saying. That would be great. We do have a, like, I don't know if they're going to steal Constantine from the CW, but we already have a Constantine in place. So, like, I think you could have half the show already.
Or Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. Well, yeah. but, you know, Deadman, we've never seen a version of Deadman live action anywhere. We've never seen a live-action Zatanna anywhere. So
we haven't?
Well, I mean, we've had cheap, like, Smallville versions of Zatanna. Okay. But I haven't seen the fishnets and the bustier, which is what I'm really looking forward to.
And you'd remember that.
I would. So, I don't know. Like I said, this could be really cool. You know, pretty far off on the horizon at this point. I don't think we'll see it for at least 2 years. But, you know, again, just good to see that, you know, we knew that JJ was going to start doing some DC projects. Because I think the other thing, isn't he also working on the Overlook Hotel, I believe, for HBO Max, which is like The Shining.
Yep.
So his deal is not just DC. It looks like he's going to be doing other projects for HBO Max. But, you know, like I said, I'm interested to see what they do with this. Non-HBO Max news, looks like Killadelphia from Image Comics has just been put into development. So when we get back to normal and we start talking about our back issue bonus and speculator roundup again, Killadelphia number one will probably be on that list of books. If you want to get ahead of the game now.
I was just going to say, why are we reserving that news?
Start looking for online stores that may have that. And
I think we have it. We talked about that one a while ago, didn't we?
I've never read Killadelphia, so you may have talked about it.
I thought we did, yeah.
Yeah, you may have read it and talked about it. I don't think I ever read it. But, you know, again, it looks like another vampire story. So if you haven't had enough vampire stories.
Oh, my God.
Here's another
one. Tune in Monday.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. and then the last thing I had, also development news. This is like the anti-development news, though, because it looks like Marvel has cut ties with the deals they had with the showrunners for The Punisher and Hellstrom. So I don't know, like, that the guy that did The Punisher, I don't know if he had anything else still in development anyways. That might have been more a formality. But I don't know what this means going forward for the Hellstrom series. They didn't specifically say that the project was dead, just that the deals with the showrunners was dead. So it may still live on with somebody else. But I think, again, this is more a product of, you know, just the delays and shutdowns from coronavirus more than anything else. Like, it just might never get back to the drawing board because, you know, they just have other things to move on to. That's all I had for news.
So what'd you think of the Venom delay?
Well, I'm with you in that I think the time frame is a little excessive. my only thought when I was listening to you talk about it this morning is I don't know where they were filming-wise. Like, I don't know if they were 100% done with filming and they were just in production, because it may just be a scheduling issue. You know, like, if they had still filming to do, maybe they have, you know, maybe Tom Hardy or Woody has commitment somewhere else. And again, I don't know if they were done or
right.
not. If they were done and they really only had to worry about the post-production, then I think a year delay is excessive. You know, six months seems to be the, you know, the norm right now. So, yeah, that seems – yeah, go ahead.
Here's my thought that I saved for you, John, for this show. I think there's spoilers in there. I think there's spoilers in there to the MCU, and they couldn't risk putting it out before, like, Black Widow, before all of the – I think it's going to fall where it should have fallen in the first place.
You could be right.
Maybe a little later, because
what was it going to be between? Like, the original setup would have had it between Black Widow and Eternals, right? Because Black Widow was supposed to come out in May, and I think the Eternals was like November.
Yeah.
And this was October?
October.
So if we look at the projected timeline from Marvel, does it still fall between those two movies? I guess that's the question I would have. And you could be right. You know, there might be something in there that, you know, is going to play into the MCU.
But you also have the Disney Plus stuff too. Because remember, Falcon Winter Soldier was supposed to come out in August.
Yeah,
and
I don't.
Those are supposed to. Feige said these things are all linked.
Right.
So. I know that all of these things have been delayed, and that's one of the things with the MCU where it's I don't think the Venom teaser or whatever could be in there is that huge, but I do think that it's something that they didn't want to have. Maybe, you know,
well, I think
before
it just
Black Widow comes out.
I think if we just look at what Marvel's put out there, does it fall in the same place? Because I think now pushing this movie by a year puts it coming out after the Eternals, I believe.
Let me look.
But you're probably right. Like, if it was scheduled in October, principal photography was probably done already before this shutdown happened. Because, you know, they're usually in post-production for, you know, close to a year.
Okay. New Mutants, no release date announced, but we know that had no affiliation with anything.
Right.
Wonder Woman 1984 is still August 14th.
Yeah, DC has... They haven't moved Wonder Woman again. Right. They actually put out their slate of movie dates the other day, too.
Black Widow is November 6th. The Eternals is February 12th.
Right, so now it's not... Now it's no longer sandwiched between those two movies. Venom is now coming out 10 months after The Eternals. So
then,
I don't think it had...
Morbius is supposed to be March 19th. Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings is supposed to be May 7th.
There's like 10 Marvel movies now coming out before this one.
June 25th is Venom, Let There Be Carnage. So you have Black Widow, Eternals, Morbius, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, then Venom.
Right.
So,
but with the original schedule, Venom would have come out
Between Black Widow and
Eternals. Right.
Correct.
So I don't think it's spoiler related. I think it's just because of the lineup
it
you just put out.
It could be a spoiler, but it doesn't matter as long as it comes after Black Widow. And
well, it could also be that just based on that slate of all those releases you just read out, that they wanted to spread it out. Maybe they just wanted to spread it out a little bit more.
Of course. You know? Yeah. Exactly.
Because you read like six movies coming out before it, so.
Right. Right. And after that, Venom, the next Doctor Strange is in November.
Okay.
So Venom, Let There Be Carnage is going to be their big summer release. When that's weird, considering it was an October release, which isn't considered.
Right.
Those aren't usually your block. I mean, they're big, but they're not. As big
yeah,
of
no, summer.
You
yeah,
know?
The summer season is usually much bigger than fall.
Shang-Chi is in the spot that, like, you would have. That's May 7th. That's your, you know, Infinity kind of, War
yeah,
slot.
Yeah, that's like
where you have your big
yeah.
one, right? It is going to be a pretty big year for the MCU, though. You got February, March, May, June, and then we have to wait all the way to November.
Well, and then, like you said, they're probably going to have at least one Disney Plus show, maybe two next year. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Marvel. So, if Disney can just hold out, because I know they're struggling financially right now, if they can just make it till next year, they're going to be sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah, I think the byproduct of everything we're going through right now, late 2020 from then on in is going to be like comic book fan gold mine because you're going right. I mean, think of it this way. The MCU, you're going, like I said, we have that big gap between June and November. You go Venom, Doctor Strange in November, then February of Thor, Love and Thunder. That's 2022. April is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sequel. April 8th, Black Panther, May 6th. Then we get into Captain Marvel is July 8th. And it's, I mean.
Well, and then don't forget, you're going to be sprinkling DC movies in there too. Like there was a point.
Oh, I'm skipping over all those. I'm just,
yeah,
I'm
that's
just
what
talking
I'm saying.
MCU, but yeah,
there was a point like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, where we were getting a comic book release like every 5 to 6 weeks. And we're going to be back on that again because they had started to spread them out.
Yeah. For about a 2 year span, we're going to be getting like every 2 months, we're getting a big comic book movie, maybe even tighter than that. Maybe because when you throw in DC and the MCU, all of this stuff coming out. And now we're getting into October 7th is untitled Marvel Studios film. But who knows the way? Because I know Venom. Let There Be Carnage is already done. So maybe that could be the next Venom movie.
Yeah.
Who knows? And that could be a year after if these people get back to work.
Well, that's the thing, too. This might all shift again. But most of them were moved far enough out that they shouldn't have to shift them again. Hopefully these are pretty set in stone.
This New Mutants, I honestly think should go right to streaming. And you know how I am not a proponent of that.
No, but at this point, I agree with you because
times.
People just need to see it now at this point, you know?
Right. So. They need to get some money back for that thing.
Exactly.
It had delay after delay just because of its own thing. Then the virus hits.
Yeah. I saw a good meme the other day on that, and it was like the cast of the New Mutants at the premiere, and it was a bunch of old people in walkers and,
looked like Game of Thrones people.
Yeah.
Gandalf.
Which I was like, well, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. But, all right, let's see. What else do we have here? CW News, do you see Kat McNamara? She said on Twitter, or she said on an interview, I saw it on Twitter, that she has no idea what the status of Arrow and the Canaries is.
Well, at this point, it's definitely not next season because they would have to be in full swing on that show already.
Well, no. Actually, what she said was we weren't supposed to know anything until May anyways. So for all that she goes, I don't know what this has done to anything, but I remember we saw the pilot and they were going to make a decision come May. So that's exactly what she said. We wouldn't know anything till May anyways. Who knows what the virus has done to any decision making. So she's like, we're still in wait and see mode. She hasn't heard anything negative. She hasn't heard that it's done.
Right, right. Well, I guess at this point though, I would think if we get it, it will be more of a mid-season release than.
Well, I think a lot of things are going to be that way.
Because I just don't think they could pull it together in time based on what's going on now. Like, you can't start production on a show in, say, July and have it ready by September.
Well, I don't know. When do they that's going to be all TV shows, though.
Well, I know. I agree.
Right?
I mean,
like, The Flash and Legends. All of those shows are going to start delayed. Either that or they just start later and then they run longer. You know what I mean? Like, episode one may still come out on time. but they only just produced it a few months earlier.
I mean, I saw, I heard, well, it was on, actually, it was on the Ralph Report earlier this week, so you might have heard it too, but, like, most of the networks now are taking all of their summer programming and sliding it basically forward until now, because they don't have anything to air, which is great for now, but you just create this big gap, you just create this giant hole in the summertime, so I don't know what that's really helping, but I understand they're trying to fill the airwaves, but they're going to need to fill it in the summer, too. So I don't know if that helps or hurts, but.
Yeah, I think there'll be a less gap between filming and airing than they used to.
There'll be a lot of live shows. It's going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to be a lot of reality TV all summer long, I think. Because that's all you can, like, you could start a reality show in about a day, you know.
Right.
You just got to get a few people and a camera and you're ready to roll. So. Yeah. I think we're going to have a lot of game shows and reality TV in our future. Maybe all next season. So,
yeah. Let's see. What else do we have here? Well, let's go with this one first. Dr. Joe hit us up on Twitter. Fun fact, Hugh Jackman is from Norway.
I saw that.
I actually looked into it. He's not.
I was going to say, I didn't fact check that, but I don't think that's correct.
No, I,
think
he was just, like, did he go to school there?
I think he was just pulling your leg, DJ.
Yeah, I figured that, but before I made the joke about his joke, I wanted to make sure.
I know.
And I got a little time on my hands, so I looked it up. Yeah. It took me all of 30 seconds. Let's see, what else? Oh, Lord of the Rings is coming to 4K, so we should, by the end of the year.
Is there more news on that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't see, because that's one of the things I've been trying to follow, because I thought originally it was scheduled for, like, June, but...
I want to say
the lack
was...
of any info about that lets me think June's not feasible.
I read it on Den of Geeks, and they had a mock-up of all the you know...
Well, but what I'm saying is, how new was that posting? Because we saw that article, we talked about it back in, like, February, but I haven't seen anything new posted since then.
Yeah, it's actually all, like, with Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, everything included together. Who knows what that thing's going to cost? Probably similar to the Star Wars
Skywalker,
saga.
I would think.
Yeah.
You're only talking about six movies, but...
Six movies that probably equal the time.
It's probably $100, $150, $180.
Yeah.
I would say. Yeah, good. I knew
more
it was coming.
Talk about it, so.
I knew it was coming. I just didn't know if there was updated information, because I'm anxiously awaiting that release, actually.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I'm curious to see, though, if they pull like a Disney Plus and drop 4K versions on HBO Max before, you know.
They could.
Which would be
they
great.
They could. I haven't even heard anything on that, on what HBO Max is going to have, if it's 4K and Atmos.
I haven't either.
That's more home theater talk.
Yeah,
I haven't heard
either.
Anything like that. That's kind of interesting.
No, they've been really stingy with the details on all of that stuff, except they were going to be able to watch Friends and The Big Bang Theory. That's all we seem to know about.
Right.
You know? We don't know about any of the platforms or the 4K. Although I did see, to follow up on something we talked about couple weeks ago, Charter cable subscribers and AT&T customers will have free HBO Max.
Yep.
So I am a AT&T customer, so I think I'm going to get it for free, at least for a year, I think is what they said. And then you know, you'll have to pay for it.
Yeah, also HBO Now subscribers that got their HBO Now through HBO, which I don't know where else you would get it. I have HBO Now. I think I get it through HBO.
Well, I think they were saying for the people that did their subscriptions directly, like if you went into the app and signed up for it, but if you signed up for it through like Apple TV or Amazon, like I think those customers were the ones that weren't going to get. There was some kind of
distinction
that
they put
there.
Well, you have to sign up for
the
app and you're paying HBO. I mean, it's not like
But there's ways to do it where, like for instance, when I sign up for Stars through my Apple TV, my subscription gets billed through iTunes. It doesn't get billed from Stars. So I think there's ways, depending on how you signed up for it. Like, so if you're billing for HBO Now was done, like if you're getting billed through iTunes instead of directly from HBO, I think it doesn't include that. So
then I cancel that and sign up for HBO Max.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
But there's different distinctions
that I was reading based on how you signed up for it, which just seems stupid to me. Like, I don't know why they have to make it overly confusing, but it could just be licensing deals that they have to adhere to.
Right. But it's still confusing.
But yeah, I know, because I was confused at first why I was getting billed for Stars through iTunes. But then I realized it's because I signed up through my Apple TV. Whereas if I went to the website and signed up for Stars and then just downloaded the app onto my Apple TV, then my subscription would be through Stars. So there's little weird distinctions there. And I think that plays into it. But in any case, hopefully I'll get a free year of HBO Max.
Yeah, hopefully. We got a tweet from Adriano the Nerd at AdrianoTweets87. Responding to our podcast on Monday about X-Men 2, X2. Yep. He said that Nightcrawler opening scene still holds up as one of the best comic book movie scenes ever.
I mean, it was good. I don't know if I'd go that far. But I saw that tweet. And I mean, yeah, it was a great scene. But I mean, I can think of some, you know, Cap getting the hammer in Endgame was much better, you know, so...
Yeah, that's a moment, though.
Yeah.
I like that scene. I don't know if, like, it would pop in my head, like, if somebody said, name some of your favorite comic book scenes. I don't know if that scene would necessarily pop in my head, but having freshly seen the movie, I agree. It is a great scene, especially for the duration of the scene. And
yeah, it's pretty long.
From a home theater point of view, it's like the way he's bouncing around the room and stuff. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty cool opening scene to a movie, too.
No, it is. Again, I agree.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I go that far.
Yeah.
But,
well,
again, just my opinion.
Yeah, he did as one of. He didn't say the. He said one of.
I get it.
Yeah, I know. Let's see. Oh, last thing I wanted to talk about. Clone Wars, Season 7, Episode 9.
Yes.
Old Friends, Not Forgotten. What'd you think?
First good episode of the season, I think.
Didn't I write that or something?
I don't know, but I was going to text you after I watched it and say, like, finally, now we have three left, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought it was a great episode. I love the tensions with Ahsoka and Anakin and Obi-Wan. And again, I don't know how spoilery we're going to go, but, like, the clones' reaction to Ahsoka being back.
Yeah.
And kind of the display they put on for her was pretty awesome. So, there was a lot of feels there for that. But overall, just a great, great episode. A lot of good stuff happened. But if I read, I did read something saying that might be the end of Ahsoka for us in the, you know, in the Clone Wars. I think the last three episodes are probably going to move on. So. We probably don't see her again until she pops up in Rebels, you know.
Well, that's one of the bonuses that I got out of this is that I saw that scene.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm going through Rebels, as you know. I got to see season 2, episode 21 and 22 when she actually battles Maul. And she's so... The whole, and she says in that episode, in one, I don't know if it was 21 or 22, but she's talking to Ezra about Anakin.
Yeah.
And she revisits that scene, which took place, you know what I mean? Just came out and I had just seen it. And she says in Rebels, she's like, the last time I saw him, he was on his way.
Right.
He was racing off to save the Chancellor and. Right. And you're like, I just saw that.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you forget like that it just came out.
Yeah.
So
no, it's awesome.
They
were able to go back and tie some of that stuff together, I think, because, you know, obviously they had the benefit of hindsight too.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the Clone Wars here. But yeah, the only thing with it is that, you know, again, by watching things out of order, it eliminates the drama, right? Because, like, you know, she gets out of the situation. Well, because
talk to Lucas. He released episode 4.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, there's no built, like, the tension that would be built into that scene normally just isn't really there, because you know you've seen her after that, you know? And well, you know you've seen Maul after that, too. So you kind of know where they both end up. Yeah. Even if we don't see what happens there, we kind of know what happened already. So
yeah. And that's the funny thing is my son came in and he sat down in the theater and we're watching, I don't know, one of the episodes. And he's like, oh, geez, Dad, spoiler.
Yeah.
And because I told him, I'm like, oh, come on in. You can watch this. And because he hasn't gotten all the way through Clone Wars yet.
Right.
So we're watching Rebels. He's like, kind of a spoiler. And I was like, not really. You know they live and they're going to be in Mandalorian, or they're going to be in this. You know what movies these characters might have shown up in or whatever.
But that guy was back chopping onions on my couch, you know, right when he was giving her lightsabers back.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, well, damn it.
Stupid dust in this room is brutal.
Stupid guy over here.
Yeah. So I have one last thing that I thought I meant to bring up last week in the home theater podcast, but it actually pertains more to this. In Empire Strikes Back, you and I have just gone through all the, if nobody's listened, in the home theater podcast, we went through every single movie yet again.
Again, yeah.
in Empire Strikes Back, in the opening scene in the snow speeders.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. If you look on the straps that come over their shoulders that strap them into their snow speeders, that now in this beautifully remastered 4K, you can tell it is literally a piece of bubble wrap glued to the top to give the straps texture.
In most
of these scenes, it's so, like, you know how you have your big bubble wrap and you'll have like quarter size bubbles and then you'll have the little bubble wrap? Well, this is the little bubble wrap, and it's cut about an inch, maybe an inch and a half wide, to go across just the top part of the strap. And the sole purpose of this is to give it so it just doesn't look like a black nylon strap, and it actually gives it some texture. But jump to that scene and take a look, and you'll, like, you can actually, in some of them, they're cut like kind of shoddy, like a pair of scissors, like, you know, when you cut a piece of paper and it's a little crooked.
So they're not even strapped to the chair. It's just on the front of their.
No. There are actual straps.
Oh, okay.
But these are just glued on top or stuck on top with like two-sided tape. And it's like, Joe and I were laughing at it, and we're like, and it's bubble wrap. So it's like, even if it was meant for comfort, it's on the wrong side.
Right. The bubbles
there's
to face
no
it up.
Purpose to these little bubbles. I'm like, what, when you're flying in space and you're bored, you can pop them?
Yeah. I guess it's the precursor to the airbag. I guess it's supposed to cushion you if you smash
just your
into
shoulder,
the,
though.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as your face or anything, just.
Yeah.
So that's
but
funny.
Yeah, it was. Take a look. It'd take you 2 seconds to pull it up, and you're going to look at it and go, what the heck? It was like. Just the costume design was like, throw some bubble wrap on there.
Yeah, that's funny.
Perfect. Well, looks great.
They work with what they have.
Back in 1980, nobody could see that.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's the whole discussion we had on the other show. So you guys should go back and listen to it. But yeah, they did. They had no intention of people ever getting the definition to be able to figure this stuff out.
Right. Yeah. High def does not work for some people.
Yeah.
That's why we podcast with no video.
Exactly.
All right. On that note, we done for this?
I think
we
so.
We done for today? For this week?
This was a long one.
Hey, we had a lot to talk about. I think we ended on a high note, though.
Yeah.
That was
bubble
good.
Wrap.
Bubble wrap. So, all right. Hey, let us know what you're doing out there to stay positive. You could tweet at us at brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts at Nerdy Legion. I am way behind. Martin keeps putting out he's out of podcasts. I don't know what he's doing. All of a sudden he's blasting through podcasts. But yeah, so that's it for this week. We will be back with Blade on Monday.
Yes, sir.
And we'll be back Monday morning with, Saturday morning. What was the name of the Spider-Man one we're doing?
No, I couldn't tell you.
It's the one we've been looking at. You teased it last week at the end of the show.
Oh, I can't remember.
It was supposed to be a good. It's got all the characters in it, though.
Yeah, so. I don't remember.
All right.
I don't have it up in front of me.
You'll see. And I'll be back tomorrow. So take it easy. Stay safe.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.